very good afternoon to one and all from a rather breezy UK. Yes, we have not had it so good weather-wise here for what seems like forever. I know that other parts of the world have had different weather, snow, etc., but we've certainly had our fair share and more of floods, rain and wind. Certainly where we live in East Anglia, we've really not had it too badly. It's, it's been bad enough and we're all absolutely, totally sick of it. But in other parts of the country, well, I really don't know what to say. Where will it all end? Anyway, you are all very welcome to What's Cooking for the month of February 2014. I hope I find you well and ready to enjoy today's programme. Today we are going to concentrate on vegetarian dishes. Yes, something we have not done on What's Cooking before. And possibly for those of us who are meat eaters, like myself, the sort of food that you wouldn't even entertain. And that was certainly the case with me in the past. I didn't even want to know about vegetarian food. Boring. And what could you do with it? Vegetables, etc. And what else? I have learned since then. And believe me, there are lots and lots of wonderful recipes out there for vegetarian food. And lots of choice in our supermarkets or grocery stores these days, much more than there used to be. But vegetarian food is the food that you really can experiment with. And for those of you who are regulars to What's Cooking, you will know that I like to experiment with my recipes. And you definitely can with vegetarian food. That there is so much that is available. And you may have a basic recipe, but it really is the sort of food you can experiment with in your cooking. And I would encourage you to do that. We may think it's boring, but once you get into vegetarian cooking, it really is very, very interesting. And I've certainly learned that over time. Today, I'm going to give you some of my favourite vegetarian recipes. And we're going to start with a chunky vegetable soup. For this recipe, you will need 1 tablespoon sunflower oil. 1 small onion, chopped. 1 small leek, thinly sliced. 1 large carrot, thinly sliced. 1 bulb of fennel, sliced. 225 grams, 8 ounces, swede, cubed. 225 grams, 8 ounces, potato, peeled and cubed. 1 bay leaf, several sprigs of fresh thyme, several sprigs of fresh parsley, 600 ml, 1 pint, vegetable stock, preferably homemade, 1 can chopped tomatoes, about 400 grams, salt and pepper, fennel leaves from the bulb above, or snipped fresh chives to garnish. And
this is what you do.
1. Heat the oil in a large saucepan. Add the onion and cook for about 5 minutes, stirring occasionally or until softened but not browned. 2. Add the leek, carrot, fennel, swede and potato and cook for a further 5 minutes or until slightly softened. Tie the bay leaf, thyme and parsley sprigs together into a bouquet garni. Add to the pan together with the stock and tomatoes with their juice. Season to taste and bring to the boil, then cover the pan and reduce the heat. Simmer gently for 45 minutes or until all the vegetables are tender. 3. Remove the bouquet garni and check the seasoning. Sprinkle the soup with snipped fennel leaves or chives and serve piping hot. Mixed grain or wholemeal bread are delicious with this soup. Next we have a recipe for cauliflower cheese. The dish you dreaded at school. I certainly did, and that was where I was first introduced to cauliflower cheese, and I ate it once and didn't want to know again. I have since learned that cauliflower cheese is not what the school dish purports it to be. So here now is a recipe for a good cauliflower cheese. Let's enjoy.
Mark Hicks is here, one of the greatest chefs and restaurateurs in the country, food writer as well. It's Cook the Perfect Cauliflower Cheese with Mark, which, I mean, you do much more sophisticated stuff than cauliflower cheese, don't you, Mark?
We do, but most of our stuff is really quite simple and to the point.
Yeah.
So it's more about the ingredients. Really.
The top British ingredients you try
to use. Yeah, exactly. That's why something like a humble cauliflower, for example, this particular one, It's an old variety. It's actually green, almost like a broccoli colour.
Yeah. I saw a purple cauliflower the other day.
Yeah, they do. I mean, a lot of these old varieties, you know, especially carrots, you know, there's purple carrots knocking around. So a lot of farmers now are actually reintroducing some of those varieties from sort of Victorian times that disappeared.
Right. But does it taste any different, that one?
Well, you know, it depends what you do with it, really. I mean, if you just boil it. It doesn't.
Yes.
But what I tend to do is...
I like to stew mine, but go on. Yeah.
Well, yes. That's our sort of childhood memories, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what I do is I use the whole thing. I use the leaves and everything because, you know, the leaves always end up going in the bin as well.
And you can
really
use them.
Tasty, and you get the most out of it, yeah.
All right. So tell us, are there any secrets to your cauliflower cheese apart from using the leaves?
Yes. I mean, you know, you read a lot of recipes for cauliflower cheese and it's kind of boil it in water and make a sauce and off we go. But what I do is I've got some milk on the boil, just with a bay leaf in it.
Yeah.
And I cook the actual cauliflower in the milk. And then that milk you use to make the sauce. So all the flavour that's come out of the cauliflower is then used to make the sauce.
How long do you cook it in the milk for?
Well, just simmered until the cauliflower is just cooked. Because, you know, what you need to remember is that when the cauliflower is gratinating under the grill or in the oven, you know, it's actually still cooking.
Right.
So what you don't want to do is get it all mushy. First, and then you end up with really soggy, overcooked cauliflower.
Yeah, which is traditional and British.
Very traditional,
but
and
not
British.
Necessarily all
That's
that
why
nice.
We've got such a bad reputation for food, you see.
Yeah. Okay. but the cheese has got to be cheddar, hasn't it?
Yeah, the cheese has got to be cheddar. I mean, you know, you can give it a twist with, you know, Lancashire or something like that, but really the flavour is you know, nice, strong, mature cheddar. That's quite traditional.
Now,
occasionally, I'd add a few breadcrumbs on top.
Right.
That gives it a nice extra
A little bit of bite, yeah. Question here for you from Penny. Can you ask Mark why my cauliflower cheese, which I've made for many years, more often than not ends up with a grainy texture? My husband makes one too, using my instructions. His sauce turns out smooth.
Must be a man's touch.
Yeah, but more seriously, apart from the possibility of there being a gender difference, what do you think is going wrong with our listener there?
Well, it's probably... It sounds like it's the sauce. I think it's important when you make cauliflower cheese that, as you can see here, what I'm doing is I've melted the butter. I'm going to add the flour. And, you know, if you're not used to making these sort of, you know, flour, roux-based sauces...
Well, I can't make them. What's the easiest way
is just to get a whisk.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Whisk in your liquid instead of using a wooden spoon. And then also, just a little tip at the end, is once you've made your sauce, is those little hand blenders.
Oh, yeah.
Are very useful for this sort of thing. They're not really good for blending soups and things, but I find for just finishing off sauces, it just gives them that little final smoothy, silky...
And it won't curdle?
No, it won't curdle, because you've got the flour in here. I've got the butter in here, and what I'm going to do now... I mean, I've been doing it for years, so I can get away with using a spoon. But
You are quite good at what you do, Mark, in fairness.
So I'm going to slowly add the milk. But I do occasionally cheating is a whisk. But it's not cheating, actually. It's not cheating at all.
You're a great forager, aren't you? Isn't this because you're from the sort of Jurassic Coast division?
A little bit. I mean, when I was a kid, I never really got into foraging as such. Certainly not in a way that we use, you know, all the different varieties of wild sea vegetables in that these days. But I certainly used to forage the sea, and I only really got into mushroom foraging when I moved to London. But now, obviously, going back, you know, all of that stuff's on our doorstep, you know, all the sea spinach. You know, people think I'm mad when I'm down at the beach.
Because you're grabbing
picking
things.
Sort of sea spinach from the car park.
What? How would I recognise sea spinach?
Well, it looks just like a proper leaf of spinach, but it's a bit more robust, a bit thicker.
Right.
But it's got the, you know, really fantastic flavour that, you know, old-fashioned spinach used to taste of. So...
It's quite a long way to I mean, you're not from a particularly cooky culinary background, are you?
No, not really. My grandmother used to sort of cook very, very sort of simple stuff. I always used to look forward to the sort of weekly braised stuffed lamb's hearts and that sort of stuff and the sort of braised belly of pork, which, you know, she used to sort of cook religiously on the same day every week. But, then I think it was... you kind of got... You know, you ate what you got given, really.
Well, you did in those days. Today, kids are sort of lured into eating with those kiddie menus in restaurants. Now, you're not keen on those, are you?
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, we do a kids' menu, but the kids' menu reflects, you know, the main menu.
Yeah.
So, for example, one of our most popular dishes in the restaurant is actually fish fingers.
But they're proper fish.
Yeah, so we use haddock, pollock, coley, you know, whatever's... sustainable and available, and we make sort of fresh mushy peas out of fresh or frozen peas, and that's our kind of grown-up nursery food. So that, you know, goes on to the kids' menu.
Well, I'm looking forward to my proper cauliflower cheese. I've got to say, the last time I had it was in maternity hospital, which was obviously about 11 years ago, and not particularly great memories, with all respect to the NHS. So we'll be back with Mark and his deluxe cauliflower cheese in a moment or two. Well, predictably, Mark Hicks's cauliflower cheese is delicious. And actually, the leaves do make a difference. They're nice.
They do.
Tasty.
You know, they shouldn't be in the bin. They should be in the cauliflower cheese or and whatever else you choose to make with it.
You've made a confession about the flour. What kind of flour do you
use? Well, I did use... I didn't mention it, but we use a lot of gluten-free and wheat-free flour in the restaurants now because more and more people do have allergies.
And it's not just OK, it actually is better?
That's great, it's fantastic for batter. It's almost like a tempura thing. And, you know, in sauces and stuff, you know, you can... It works really well. It's nice and light. You don't get that heaviness of sort of, you know, normal flour.
OK, well, that's good to know. Now, you also just confessed to me, what do you eat last thing at night? Your sort of comfort food of choice is dried what?
Well, I always keep in my larder good quality pasta, which is quick cooking pasta. Mm. And... I always like to have things at hand, you know, that you can just toss in. So, a jar of Bottega, which is dried grey mullet roe, which is highly prized in Italy, is a great addition, but very, very simple to add to pasta.
Perhaps I have fancied dried
grey. It's a dried version of tarmacolata.
I have fancied it in that case. There we are, a little chef's tip there. Dried grey mullet roe, otherwise known as?
Bottega.
OK, look out for it. Mark Hicks, thank you very much for coming in.
Next we have a lasagna recipe, and lasagna is most definitely one of my favourite foods. And this is butternut and sweet potato lasagna with sage, toasted pine nuts and nutmeg. For this recipe you will need 50 grams, 2 ounces parmesan or a vegetarian alternative. 50 grams, 2 ounces dried natural breadcrumbs. 600 grams, 1 pound, 5 ounces prepared sweet potato and butternut squash. Pinch of salt. 4 sprigs rosemary. 12 sage leaves. Drizzle olive oil. 12 lasagna sheets. 75 grams, 3 ounces, baby spinach leaves. 100 grams, 3.5 ounces, toasted pine nuts. And some supermarkets do sell these toasted, so do have a look for those. For the white sauce, 100 grams, 3.5 ounces, Parmesan or a vegetarian alternative. 2 centimetres, 1/4 inch piece of fresh ginger. 600 grams, 1 pound, 5 ounces ricotta. 2 free-range eggs, yolks only. Pinch freshly grated nutmeg. Salt and freshly ground black pepper. For the salad, 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon balsamic vinegar. Pinch of English mustard powder, that is optional. Salt and freshly ground black pepper. 80 grams, 2 ounces wild rocket. And
this is what you do.
1. Preheat the oven to 220 degrees C, 420 degrees F, gas 7. 2. Put the kettle on to boil for the vegetables. 3. Meanwhile, finely grate the Parmesan for the topping. Toss in a small bowl with the breadcrumbs and set aside. 4. When the kettle has boiled, tip the prepared sweet potato and butternut squash into a large pan, add a little salt, and then pour the boiled water over to cover. Put the lid on, bring back to the boil, and then leave to bubble away for 15 to 20 minutes until tender. 5. Fill the kettle up with water again and pop it back on to boil while you quickly prepare the herbs for later. Run your fingers down the length of the rosemary stalks to release the leaves and roughly chop them with the sage leaves and set aside in a small bowl. 6. Pour the boiled water into a large pan, add a drizzle of oil, slip in the lasagna sheets and leave to cook for 5 minutes. As there is not much liquid in this dish, the lasagna sheets do need a bit of pre-cooking. 7. In the meantime, prepare the sauce. Finally, grate the Parmesan and peel and grate the ginger. Place both into a medium bowl. Add the ricotta, egg yolks, pinch of nutmeg, salt and pepper. Stir to combine and set aside. 8. Drain the lasagna sheets once they've had their time and tip them back into the pan. Drizzle in a little more oil and gently toss them about to coat so that the sheets don't stick together. 9. Check that the vegetables are now nice and tender. Drain well and tip them back into the pan. Mash them with a masher until smooth and add salt and pepper to taste. 10. Now assemble the lasagna in a baking dish. Set on a baking tray. Spread 1/3 of the vegetable mash in the base of the dish. Next, scatter 1/3 of the herbs, pine nuts and spinach leaves over. Then arrange 4 lasagna sheets on top, cutting to fit if necessary. Spread 1/3 of the white sauce over. 11. Repeat this twice more, giving you 3 layers, and finally sprinkle the Parmesan and breadcrumbs on top. Bake for 15 to 20 minutes. 12. Prepare the salad dressing by simply mixing the olive oil, balsamic vinegar, mustard powder if using, and seasoning together in a small bowl. 13. When the lasagna is ready, the pasta will feel tender when pierced through with a knife and the top will be crisp and golden brown. 14. Cut into portions, carefully lift out and serve with a handful of rocket drizzled with the dressing. Now, that may sound quite complicated, but if you follow each step carefully, you should have no problems. Next up is vegetarian chili, and I chose this because, whether vegetarian or not, chili is definitely a popular dish. And this tasty vegetarian chili is packed with lentils, vegetables, and beans. Serve with rice and guacamole and sour cream. For this recipe, you will need 175 grams, 6 ounces green lentils, 2 tablespoons sunflower oil, 1 large onion chopped, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic crushed, 1 to 2 teaspoons chili powder, 1 teaspoon cumin seeds, 1 red and 1 green pepper stalk seeds removed and chopped, 2 carrots peeled and chopped, 2 times 400 grams, that's 14 ounces, cans chopped tomatoes, 1 heaped tablespoon tomato puree, 300 ml, that's half a pint, vegetable stock, 100 grams, 4 ounces, frozen peas, 175 grams, 6 ounces, mushrooms, wiped and quartered, 1 courgette chopped, salt and freshly ground black pepper, 1 can kidney beans, drained, and...
This is what you do.
1. Place the green lentils in a large bowl and pour boiling water over them. Leave to soak for 30 minutes. Alternatively, buy a tin of pre-soaked lentils. Drain. 2. Heat the oil in a large saucepan and fry the onion and garlic together with the chili and cumin about 10 minutes or until the onions are soft. 3. Add the peppers, carrots and drained green lentils and cook for 5 minutes, stirring all the time. Add the tomatoes, puree, stock and peas. Bring to the boil and simmer until the lentils are tender, about 30 minutes. Add the mushrooms and courgettes and simmer for 5 minutes more. Season to taste. 4. Add the cooked kidney beans and simmer for 5 more minutes. 5. Serve with cooked rice. Our final recipe today is for nut roast. There are many recipes for nut roast, and you can also buy them in your supermarket, though I do think the homemade ones are much, much better. I've tried various recipes, and this is one of my favourites. In fact, it is my favourite. Vegetarians and meat eaters will love this great traditional British recipe. Serve with a spicy tomato sauce for extra flavour. So for this recipe then, you will need 100 grams, 4 ounces, pecan nuts, 100 grams, 4 ounces, Brazil nuts, 60 grams, 21.5 ounces almonds, blanched, 2 tablespoons pumpkin seeds, 25 grams, 1 ounce unsalted butter, 5 shallots peeled and finely chopped, 2 garlic cloves peeled and chopped, 2 teaspoons vegetarian Worcestershire sauce or soy sauce. 1 teaspoon sherry vinegar. 1 to 2 teaspoons English mustard powder. 3 tablespoons flat leaf parsley, roughly chopped. 1 tablespoon sage leaves, roughly chopped. 3 large eggs, beaten. 150 grams, 5 ounces, red Leicestershire cheese or strong cheddar. 400 grams, 14 ounces, tin chopped tomatoes, drained. And
this is what you do.
1. Gently toast the nuts and pumpkin seeds in a dry frying pan over a medium heat, stirring gently until golden. Allow to cool, then pulse in a food processor until finely chopped, but do not let the nuts turn into a powder. 2. Melt the butter in a small frying pan and sweat the shallots and garlic for 5 minutes or until soft. 3. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees C, 160 degrees F, fan 350 F, gas 4. Grease a tin, line the base with baking parchment, then grease again. 4. In a large bowl, combine the nut mixture with the cooked shallots and all the remaining ingredients. Season well with salt and freshly ground black pepper. Mix well. 5. Scoop the mixture into the prepared tin and bake for 45 minutes or until firm and golden. Leave to cool slightly, then turn out onto a serving plate and carefully peel away the baking parchment. Next month, we are going to be carrying on with our vegetarian theme because, as I said before, there are lots and lots and lots of wonderful vegetarian dishes out there, and I think we need to give them a go. So if you have a favourite vegetarian recipe, dish, or ideas for vegetarian dishes that you would like to share with us, please do send them in. If you have ideas, feedback, queries, stories you'd like to share with other listeners, you can do so by emailing the usual address, cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's cookin@theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this programme again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, or you can visit incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. Well, that's all we have time for today. I do hope you've enjoyed the programme as much as I have, and that you will join me again next month. In the meantime, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking!